Well, last week we heard the message that everyone in life goes through stress. Stress is not always negative, and we can take steps to thrive in stressful times, which is a theme for our series for the next few weeks. Well, I'm not going to give you a test. I'm not going to ask you to put up your hands and ask you who has the most stress in your life and give you a, you know, give you a badge or something like that. You're not even going to get a certificate in stress management at the end of this series. What we want to do is to hear what the Bible says about stress, because we believe, as I said last week, that God's truth is the basis of life's practices and actions. I repeat, God's truth is the basis of life's practices and actions. And I just want to see how many things you have remembered. I mentioned that there were four resources given to us to deal with stress. And what are the four resources? Number one, to give you a clue, they all start with an S. Number one,
Scripture.
Alright, Scripture or God's Word. Number two, S. I see Pastor looking at his notes. It's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, which indwells us. The third is saints. Saints is a family, the church family that God has given to us, which we should all learn to value and appreciate more. And lastly, we have stress itself, which is something that we, if we deal with it properly, we can come out stronger. And we also touched on the three hindrances to Christian maturity, which are personal sin, emphasis on self, and finally Satan, who wants us to fail so that we will not reach maturity in our Christian lives. Now the next question I'm going to ask you is, what did you learn during the week? What did you learn about stress? What did you manage to have a good week and manage your stress properly? Well, this is a very personal question, right? And maybe I should not be asking you. Should I be asking your family instead? Right? Well, if you ask my family, they'll probably say that most days last week for me was a stressful day. They probably saw it in my face, huh? And maybe because I aired my frustrations at them. So, not deliberately, but it happened. I'm not successful in dealing with stress all the time, in that I might decide, like the song says, I will do it my way. This is a very popular song at one time. But I'm not saying that that's the best solution at all. Well, if we want God to be honored in our lives rather than we ourselves, then we should certainly not do it my way, but God's way. And we should also pray for one another so that we will not fall, we will not fail, but we will thrive. So for today's lesson, we will be looking at thriving under stressful times, and especially about the biblical roots of stress. The purpose of looking at biblical perspective or reason, as we do not believe that other reasons or causes go back to the real roots of stress. They also do not provide a God-honoring solution, but one that uses man's own human efforts to help ourselves or to seek professional advice for dealing with stress. So what are some of the non-biblical reasons or causes of stress? Well, there are many kinds of stress which may consist of some of the following. There's personal stress or personal reasons. Things that affect us could be our health, our jobs, relationships, emotional problems, or even life changes. But but not forgetting money or finance. In fact, money is such an important common problem, wouldn't you agree, that the local director Jack Newell made a movie entitled Money No Enough in 1998. I see Sister Lillian smiling. Oh, that's a favorite movie, you know, mine as well. Well, it was a Singaporean comedy film about three friends with financial problems who started a car polishing business together. And it was so successful, which is a movie, not the car grooming business, that it earned over 5.8 million and was the all-time highest grossing Singapore film until 2012. So you can understand why money is important. So money can also lead to stress. So the first one is personal causes. Second is social issues. It could be personal beliefs, your occupation, right? Some occupations are more stressed than others. I shall ask Pastor Moore, being a pastor, is that very stressful? I think dealing with church members is quite stressful. Huh? So that's an occupation. Discrimination, maybe in society, in the workplace, and environment. I won't dwell so much on that. I'll go to the next one, which is traumatic events. By this, it could be a childhood trauma or experience. It could be a death of a loved one, divorce, natural disasters, wars, hence leading to post-traumatic stress. And here we can see that stress is a common denominator or problem faced by human beings, and that it can be a big market for someone offering services in stress management. Anybody here in that industry? I'm not here to share with you about the psychological solution to dealing with stress in your lives. Neither am I here to teach you about the art of positive thinking. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that positive thinking is not good, because in comparison, if you are negative all the time, what will happen is that your friends, your colleagues, and maybe even your family will soon run and hide away from you, and you will become even more stressed. I'm saying that more important than all these man-made solutions are God's explanation and solutions for all men. Please take note of some of the error in my handouts. Alright? There's some typo error. So stress is prevalent, which means widespread in everyday life, and stress seems to be increasing, correct? You all agree with me that stress is increasing, or is it decreasing? For example, when you get promoted or go up the corporate ladder, does your stress level get higher or lower?
Higher.
Thank you. Well, similarly, the more money you have, the more worries you will have about your money. I'm not saying give your money to me, I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is that with more money, you will have more stress. Last week, I read about this wealthy businessman in Hong Kong who was kidnapped and kept in captivity for 42 days while his abductors tried to get 40 million Hong Kong dollars from his family. And after this experience, this wealthy businessman was finally released or rescued by the police. And he will probably employ bodyguards from now on, wouldn't you agree? So any of you need a bodyguard too? Okay. Yeah, I know you can share anything but your wealth, right? Wealth is secret. So no one is going to raise your hand and say you need a bodyguard, no? Anyway, if my leg condition like this, I also cannot be your bodyguard, no? Alright, you need one for me. Psychologists say that some people have a biological vulnerability and an overactive nervous system that makes them more prone to anxiety. There could be some truth in specific cases, but here in our church, we want to broadly deal with why there is stress. Alright, why there is stress, and what does the scripture say are the biblical roots of stress. So this morning, as we study the biblical roots or the beginning of stress, let me ask you, do you know that the Bible reveals to us the roots of stress and the solutions for managing them as well? We want to start by looking at the origin or beginning of stress, and this can be found in Genesis chapter 3 verses 1 to 19, which presents the account of the temptation, the fall, and God's curse upon the world. Well, since we're going to read 19 verses, I didn't want to put it up here. And since we are all Baptists, right? And Pastor Tonglip did a series on what are some of the Baptist distinctives. It's not one of those under the acronym Baptist, but one of them is that Baptists bring their Bibles to church, correct? So because of that, I want you to take out your Bibles, and which reminds me, I forgot mine. Yeah. Forgetting is okay as long as you don't forget how to turn, you know, to the books of the Bible. Anyway, this is the easiest. It's in Genesis chapter 3. So it's the first book of the Bible. Shall we read together? And we'll read responsively from verse 1 to verse 19. I'll start, please. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of any tree of the garden.
And the woman said unto the serpent, ye may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden.
But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die.
And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die.
For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one's mind, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat.
We've got to wait for the last few who are still reading, huh? It's okay. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig trees together and made themselves aprons.
And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden.
And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou?
And he said, I heard thy voice in my garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself.
And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?
And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree.
And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat.
And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life.
And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Under the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow in thy husband.
And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of a tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Thank you very much. So as we look at the biblical roots of stress, all the more we should read from this passage. And we have seen from what we just read, the account of the temptation, the fall, and God's curse upon the world. So from what we have read, man was created by God in His image, and man was made without sin. Adam and Eve were given the Garden of Eden to enjoy, and they could eat fruit from any tree in the garden except from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Was God being unkind and unreasonable to Adam and Eve? Did they have to work to get food each day? No. God provided all their daily needs. He met them daily and they communicated with God. Let's look at the temptation. Genesis 1:31 states God's evaluation of the world He hath made. And God said, it was very good. Genesis 2 describes life on the earth as God intended it to be. There was perfect communion with God, perfect communion between the man and woman, and a perfect life in the perfect world. In other words, no stress. All this stress-free life ended when Satan came along disguised as a serpent and said to Eve in Genesis chapter 3 verse 1, Yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And what was Eve's reply? She said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Despite knowing God's command, Satan went ahead to deceive Eve by saying, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and also gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. In other words, we see here that Adam and Eve, prompted by Satan, clearly disobeyed God's will, found in Genesis 2 verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Then we see the fall. Satan or Lucifer made God out to be someone who was unloving by withholding good things from Adam and Eve. So Eve foolishly accepted Satan's lie and ate of the forbidden fruit and gave some to Adam. And the end result is something we all know, that although man did not die physically, he died spiritually, and he died immediately spiritually. A few things occurred showing the immediate and initial effects of a fall, as we can see. Let's look at what are some of these immediate and initial effects. Number one, innocence was replaced with guilt. We see that both Adam and Eve's eyes were opened, and the couple realized that they were naked. They sensed the need to clothe themselves and had to create attire from available materials like fig leaves. Stress became a part of their lives. Number two, honesty was warped by deception. Number three, trust was shattered and replaced with distrust. They experienced fear at the voice of God. More stress. Now they had to find a place to hide. Number four, communication gave way to estrangement. There was now a schism or separation from God, whom they could previously commune with daily. Number five, love was modified by fear. They had to find a place to hide. Still more stress. Number six, serenity was replaced with tension. Adam and Eve had to reply to God's inquiry as to their whereabouts. Additional stress. They had to explain the reason for their hiding. Stress upon stress. And lastly, the perfect became imperfect. It was obvious that stress had entered the perfect world God had created. They had to acknowledge eating of a tree God had placed off limits, and in so doing, devise a plan to shift the blame to someone else. Adam blamed the woman that God gave to him, and Eve blamed the serpent for deceiving her. More stress. And all this was only the beginning. So we have seen the temptation and next the fall. Now let's look at the judgment. Number one, God judged the serpent. God judged the serpent and Satan. God cursed the serpent. First, the serpent would be reduced in stature. It would crawl around and eat dust. The expression carries the idea of total defeat. The rest of the animal kingdom, though indirectly mentioned, also suffered from man's sin. Satan was also charged, even though his name was not used in the text. Verse 15 reads, And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Not only will there be hostility between the woman and the snake, but there will be a spiritual battle between Satan's spiritual seed, which are his demonic hosts, and the woman's seed, which is Christ. Satan's kingdom has been and will continue to be in opposition to the true kingdom of God. Note the stress implied in this judgment. Innocent animals suffered. Enmity would be the order of the day. Next, God judged the woman. Three aspects of this judgment are noted. Number one, she will have great difficulty in childbirth. Number two, her desire will be to her husband. And thirdly, her husband will rule over her. Note the stress implied in this judgment. Children declared by God as a gift, Psalm 127 verse 3, and heritage from the Lord, will be delivered in pain. The wonder of marriage to be lived in a loving, caring relationship and declared by God as good became warped by strife between husband and wife. Thirdly, God judged the man and his world. Verse 17 to 19 describes God's judgment on the man and the world in which he would labor and live. And in addressing Adam, God first revealed his sin. What was his sin? Because thou hast hearkened unto the wife, the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. These words must have pierced Adam's mind and heart. He had failed. God first stated the overall and pervasive curse in the ground. Cursed is the ground. Verse 18 adds, thorns and also thistles shall it bring forth, indicating some of the negative change implied in the general curse. Next, God pronounced judgment on Adam. Daily life would be hard. Food would be gathered with much sweat, little yield for the effort, and in the presence of thorns and thistles. And after living a hard life, Adam would die. In addition, the judgment placed on the serpent, Satan, and Eve would affect Adam's life as well. Note the stress implied in the judgment. Instead of a pleasant and rewarding labor of love, tending the Garden of Eden, Adam would labor hard just to get by. And this labor would be complicated by thorns and thistles, making life that much harder. Instead of a bounty of the Garden of Eden, Adam would from then on gain little from much effort. The loving, caring relationship he had at one time enjoyed with Eve was replaced with strife and the constant necessity to address the needs and concerns of a fallen wife, as a wife must address the concerns of a fallen husband. Instead of a natural, eternal life, Adam had to prepare for his own death. Stress is a part of daily life. The disobedience of Adam and Eve brought God's judgment. What had been perfect, stress-free, is now stress-filled, stress-laden, and stress-generating. Stress manifests itself in every phase and activity of life. Sin lies at the root of stress. But a study of the roots of stress is also a study of the promise of the end of stress. And by God's grace, stress will come to a sure and a settled end. So I'm sure you want to look at this, the end of stress. Well, this is good news because stress will end for the believer. It hasn't ended yet. Genesis 3, account of the temptation, the fall and judgment on mankind, also offers hope and reveals God's initial grace to Adam and Eve. Hope is seen in the promise of God that the seed of the woman would bruise or crush the head of Satan. This crushing took place when Christ died on the cross and rose victorious from the grave. So you can refer to 1 Corinthians 15, especially 54 to 58. God's grace to Adam and Eve is seen in his provision of clothing. Their homemade fig leaf coverings were replaced with a God-provided covering. Though Adam and Eve could not return to the innocence enjoyed before the fall, God knew they could be made more comfortable, less stressed, with proper clothes. In another act of grace, God sent Adam from the garden, and the reason is given in verse 22. Lest he or Adam put forth his hand and take also of a tree of life and eat and live forever. As an act of grace, God kept Adam from a perpetual life of stress. The believer, which includes each one of us who have placed our trust in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, can look forward to an initial removal from the presence of stress and for the total removal of stress from the presence of the believer. What do I mean by this? Let's look first at the initial removal from stress. At the moment of physical death, or at the return of Christ to snatch his church away, the believer will experience a removal from the presence of stress. In 2 Corinthians 5, 1-8, Paul described the conflict he faced living in a stress-heavy world. To continue to live in a body meant a lost opportunity for ministry. It also meant an absence from the present. It also meant absence from the presence of the Lord. Verse 8 reveals Paul's true desire. He would have gladly chosen the presence of the Lord over the pressure of earthly life. For the Christian, death is stress release. Some may not enter God's presence through the pathway of death, but will be alive at the time of Christ's return for the church. Paul describes this event in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 17. Some believers will be living at the Lord's return. Verse 17 provides a wonderful promise, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So whether by death or by the snatching away of the church, every believer can look forward to being removed from the presence of stress or into the presence of the Lord. The final removal from stress. The book of the Revelation of Christ, which Pastor Crocker has been teaching us for most of this year, describes the events that takes place after the church is snatched into heaven, that is a rapture. While the church enjoys the Lord's presence, the earth will be experiencing great distress, culminating in the great white throne judgment. After he related this event, the Apostle John related the promise of a new heaven and earth. Verse 3 says that God himself will be with his people. What a wonderful thought. Verse 4 states that God himself shall wipe away the remaining tears of a sin-cursed world. John went on to list death, sorrow, crying, and pain as ceasing to exist. These are the former things that will have no place in the new heaven and the new earth. Stress will be removed from the presence of the believer. Stress is rooted in the fall of man, and stress will end with the coming of the new heaven and the new earth. Between its beginning and its end lies a life of stress. Some stress can be avoided through obedience to God's word, as in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1-2. Some stress can be minimized through wise choices, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6-11. However, stress cannot be totally eliminated from life. The believer must deal with stress. The remainder of this course or this class will help the believer to learn to actually thrive in stressful times. So in summary, let me ask, what lies at the root of stress?
Sin.
Sin lies at the root of stress. Stress will end either on physical death or when the Lord returns for his church. Thirdly, during the new heaven and the new earth, God will be with his people and there will be no stress. So in conclusion, stress is a reality of daily life. As such, stress cannot be totally eliminated from life. It must be accepted and handled as God intends. Thriving in stressful times is easier when the roots of stress are understood and accepted as a reality of daily life. Let me close with a verse. And this verse is found in John chapter 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank the Lord for the blessed hope that we have as Christians, as believers. Let us pray for one another that we will submit to the Lord, we'll submit our lives, and we will allow Him to lead us in all of life's decisions, whether in school, in our workplace, or at home. And so that at the end we will not make foolish decisions which we will have to live with and cause unnecessary stress. And for those with existing stress, let's pray that and ask and commit them to the Lord and to ask Him to lead us daily. So shall us go to the Lord in prayer at this time.